comes set. Kicks the 1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left field. Yes, sir. There she goes.
Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to episode 13 of There She Goes, a weekly Blue Jay podcast for all things Blue Jays. We are recording this on June 16th, 2017. I'm Mark from 360 Blue Jays News and Bluebird Banter. We're joined, as always, by everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation, but we also have a very special guest today. We're joined by Hagen Danner, who was selected 61st overall by the Blue Jays in this week's draft. He's from Huntington Beach, California. He plays both catcher and pitcher, so to just start things off, how are you, Hagen?
I am great, and I actually am going to sign as a catcher to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I heard. It's very interesting that you play both positions, and I think Blue Jays Nation has a question about that.
So first off, congratulations on getting drafted by the Blue Jays. You know, getting drafted is something that not many kids get to happen or have happen to them. And you know, if it does happen to you, it means you're clearly a great player with, you know, great skill. And yeah, so like you just said, you did want to sign as a catcher, and since you were drafted as a catcher, and now we know that you are going to sign, you can also pitch. And do you see yourself also, you know, pitching on a rare occasion? Do you think the catcher position will give you the best chance to make it to the major leagues? And the last question, which do you prefer? Do you prefer to catch or do you prefer to pitch?
To answer that last question, I'd have to say now catch because I'm a catcher. So, yeah, and I mean, maybe one of those ball games where it's like 14-0 and they need to bring in someone just to give the pitchers a rest, maybe go in there and pitch, or if for some reason catching's not going my way or anything in my career, I feel like I can always change into a pitcher if they need me to.
Yeah, definitely. We usually hear coaches in the minor leagues or the little leagues rather in high school, like eventually push a player to one side, one position, either position player or a pitcher, but you've played both. Did you ever have a coach along your development push you to play one or the other, or did you ever have a coach do the opposite and push you to keep playing both?
They'd always ask me which one I like more. Basically, like once a week I'd get asked that question, and I'd say, I don't know. Every single time I have no idea. And, I mean, every coach would have me pitch, and when I'm pitching, they'd have me in the lineup also at the same time. So, I mean, hitting has been a strength for me, and obviously pitching has, and I got back to catching these past 2 years, and I mean, I've loved it. It's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, your teammate and friend Nick Prado was also selected in the draft.
Yes.
He was selected 14th overall, for those of you listening who don't know. And you went, I believe, if I get this correct, a Little League World Series together, a gold medal with the USA 18U national team together, and a high school championship together. So how does it feel to have such a good friend drafted alongside you?
Oh, I mean, the day was crazy. The day was crazy. He was obviously selected before me, and everyone was at his house. All our friends were at his house waiting for him to get selected, and right after that, right after I saw him get selected, I almost brought me to tears. I was sitting there on my couch seeing him get selected, and then about 5 minutes later, all those people started showing up at my house, and then I see Nick come through the door, and he's there all cheering me on, and I mean, that just kind of shows you how good of a teammate he is and how good of a friend he is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Hagen, also I'd like to congratulate you on being selected, and as you just mentioned, how all the support you've gotten from your friends and obviously your family. Prior to the draft, I just wanted to ask what you were feeling like. Were you excited? Were you nervous? And also, I wanted to ask, what was the feeling when you got the call from the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a stressful day because, I mean, I was told at the beginning of the day, like that morning, I was looking at picks 28 to 34. Obviously, 28 is being the Blue Jays, and so I was all excited, getting all ready for those, and they kind of passed by. And then that's when the stress started coming in, and I'm like, like, what am I going to do now? And I realized that the Blue Jays had the 61st pick, and I was talking to the scout Joe Aversa and my advisor and stuff. And, I mean, when it came down to that 61st pick and they offered me, I was very excited to get my name called by the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and you were ranked by MLB Pipeline at 41, but you were picked like 20 selections later. So you just mentioned that you were really stressed. What other kind of emotions were there, or were there other emotions?
I'd say stress was the biggest one. I'd say there's a little anxiety going into it also, after not hearing my name called or not getting any phone calls at that point. I was so happy still. All my friends and family were all here. We had about 100 people at our house just hanging out in the backyard. My name was called. It went crazy. And that's what I was. It just made me so happy seeing that everyone's here backing me up.
Yeah, I can imagine. I didn't congratulate you when we started recording this, but congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's definitely a momentous occasion. We talked a little bit about this before we started recording. You're committed to UCLA, committed using in quotes, but some expect you to be signable if you were drafted within the first two rounds, and obviously you were drafted in the second round. So how likely do you think it is you'll sign with the Blue Jays?
Very likely. I mean, I got enough of everything, and I've talked to everybody, my agent and everyone, and they're all along with me, and I mean, I want to be a professional baseball player, so that's what I think I want to pursue my dream in.
Yeah, we usually see players, I shouldn't say usually, but sometimes players get drafted a little further down, go to college, and then in the upcoming drafts, in the upcoming years, they get picked pretty high up. Did this play a part in your commitment, you know, thinking if I don't get picked where I want to, I'll go to college, grow my repertoire, my experience, and then perhaps get picked higher up? Or was it just a decision based on other factors?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that wanting to go to college. I mean, UCLA has been my dream school since I was about 6 years old. But also playing professional baseball is my dream since 6 years old. So, I mean, having those two options there for me going into the draft was pleasing, being able to know that I'll be going somewhere great no matter what. And, I want to be professional baseball. So, I mean, I got picked and I want to pursue my dream.
This isn't, so much of a question as a statement, but I saw an interview with you on, I believe it was USA Today. And you said that you really like country music, and you kind of dislike pop, and Blue Jays Nation loves country and not so much pop. So you two should get along fairly
well. Awesome.
Yeah, I loved when I saw the 360 Blue Jay news. You wanted to ask this question once I saw that. It was awesome to see. Not many people that I know like country music, but it's always great finding another guy that loves it.
Yeah, I just have another quick question. It's more of like a personal opinion, I guess, as you're from Huntington Beach. I just wanted to ask, who was your favorite team growing up?
Growing up was always the Angels, and I was a big fan of the Indians.
Why the Indians?
Yeah, I'll explain the Indians here. And my dad grew up in Ohio, and he was a Cincinnati Reds fan, but his mom was a diehard Indians fan, and I was a big Grady Sizemore fan growing up, so that's kind of how I got to like the Indians. And I mean, I still do like them, but now I guess I'm the biggest Blue Jays fan here.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Moving on more to the Blue Jays. Blue Jays are kind of Canada's team. I don't want to overgeneralize this, but they definitely have the support of the nation. And we saw this support most recently in their series against the Seattle Mariners. Safeco Field is kind of called Rogers Center West because all the fans in British Columbia and the west side of Canada come down to Seattle to watch the team. Are you excited for this kind of support with the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I mean, it's already been coming in from Twitter and everyone tweeting at me and seeing some guy already gave me a nickname, like the Ice Cream Man, I guess, from Haagen-Dazs Ice Cream, and which is pretty cool. I like that one. That's a good one. It's crazy seeing that, like, a whole country backs up a team like that and seeing all the fans of the games. I've been watching like YouTube videos of like fans at the games, and everyone's just diehard Blue Jay fan, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be pretty special as a player to have that kind of support behind you. We've seen quotes from major league players with the Blue Jays now talking about that support and how different it is, and how obviously I'm biased here when I talk about the Blue Jays because I love them. But like Marcus Stroman, I believe he wrote a piece for the Player Tribune about how Toronto is the best kept secret in Major League Baseball. And I'm glad to see you're excited.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm excited to get out there. And just, I want to keep playing baseball and get to put on that jersey.
So, yeah, Hagen, as you mentioned, and as we all know, you've played both pitcher and catcher as a kid. And growing up a Blue Jay fan, a baseball fan, I should say, did you have any specific players that you model or you want to model after or potentially become, or just any specific player that you idolized as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid growing up, it was Grady Sizemore because I was actually pretty fast back then, and I played a little outfield, so I liked him a lot, and I like Justin Verlander, but right now my favorite player is Buster Posey behind the plate, and for pitching, I like Max Scherzer. But yeah, so far, right now my favorite player is Buster Posey.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially with his, I don't know how to describe it, just his presence on a team. What kind of example is he for you? Do you find yourself, at least within a clubhouse, obviously I don't know much about this, you know a whole lot more about this than me. What impact does a catcher have on the team? Like, when I think about it, like, a catcher is kind of the only player that is both a position player and a pitcher, because they handle the pitchers, yet they also like handle the infield and stuff. How has this impacted you as a player, and what is the actual full impact of the catcher on a team?
Yeah, I mean, the catcher is the leader of the team, and that's what I love about being a catcher, is that every play is in your hands basically. And I love the pressure of being a catcher, and that's the same way as a pitcher too. That's the reason why I like pitching, because it's your game. You're in the lead of this game, and I mean all the pressure's on you. So as a catcher standpoint, you got to make every play right, and if you make a mistake, it's all on you. And having that pressure just makes the game a lot more interesting.
Going back to both playing catcher and pitcher, did you ever have any thought of perhaps being one of the first two-way players? We saw early in the draft there were a number of players who both were good on the mound and good at the plate, hitting-wise and defensively, depending what position they played. Did you ever have any thoughts about perhaps playing both with the team if they allowed it?
I mean, yeah, if they allow it. I'm not sure there's many teams that allow you to play two positions, especially like catching and pitching. Those are two rough positions to do both at, which I've done for a while, and I know from experience. I wanted the whatever team to pick me, I wanted them to choose what position I was going to play, and that's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah, I guess you're at the mercy of the team that picks you to some extent.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
So I think that sums up what we wanted to talk about. Again, do you have anything you wanted to add or plug before we say goodbye?
No, just go Blue Jays, and I love all the fans. It's awesome.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Wear their boots on all night. What? Right. Yeah, and what to call work, digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down, to get paid, to get the girl in your four-wheel drive. Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. We're back from our interview with Hagen, and once again thanks to him for joining us. We're gonna look on a broader scope now at Toronto's draft as a whole, mostly, or the first 10 rounds at least. To start it off, Logan Warmuth was drafted by the Blue Jays 22nd overall. He was their first pick. He's a shortstop. He's from North Carolina University. And in 2017, he hit 336 with North Carolina, including 10 home runs, 18 stolen bases. That was over 63 games. As I mentioned these statistics, I should note that college baseball statistics are hard to read into because obviously they're a different skill set and different quality of players. So you shouldn't look into those stats too much. He's 21 years old. Like I said, he's a shortstop. He ranks 19th and 27th in the draft by Baseball America and MLB Pipeline, respectively. So the Blue Jays kind of got a bit of a bargain with him. I'm just going to ask you guys what you thought about him, what you think his potential is, whether you like him. As a note, it's kind of hard to predict how these players are going to do. You know, they haven't seen professional pitching or hitting at all, so it's kind of hard to determine what their quality will be eventually. But from the little we know, what do you guys think about them?
I really like the Blue Jays drafting Logan Warmoth at, or I should say in the first round. Obviously, we won't really hear from him in the next couple of years on the Blue Jays roster, but obviously he has to go through the minor leagues. But I really like the Blue Jays drafting him, as obviously the Jays have the oldest team in baseball, and I think stacking up on young infielders is the way to go for the future. And I'm just going to get into a scouting report a little bit. So he's listed at 6 feet, 180 or 190, depending on the source. He was a switch hitter in high school, but now he hits exclusively from the right side, and he's made it work. And coming into college, he was respected for an above average speed and general athleticism, but he was critic for lack of power and strength. And he's addressed those concerns with maturity. He's able to drive the ball for distance much more often, without massive changes in his swing or general approach. And obviously, 360 just mentioned that he had pretty good numbers in 2017, and stats are hard to look into, but his power surge began last spring, and it continued with wooden bats at Cape Cod, and it's accelerated in 2017. And he's obviously not expected to be a big home run hitter. You don't really see that from speedy shortstops, but he'll hit a share of doubles and sufficient strength to earn the respect of others. And I really think that's what the Blue Jays are missing, a player like that right now. And I think if we get those players up in the minor league system, and especially in the couple of years when they are eligible, or I should say when they are old enough, or when they're ready to get the call to the big leagues, I think he will be a key player for the Blue Jays. And I really do think he will be in the Blue Jays. He's obviously in the Blue Jays' plans, and I really hope he will move up and continue to move up year after year in the minor leagues.
All right, so yeah, like you guys said, you can't really expect a crazy amount of a player, or expect a ton from a player, just judging or just looking at his college stats. However, I am fairly impressed by Logan Warmoth's stats in his 63 games at the University of North Carolina. In his 63 games, he had 18 stolen bases, which, if he can continue at a pace like that into the minors as he learns what major league pitching is going to be like, I have a lot of hope for him, because stolen bases and just running in general is not the Blue Jays' strong suit, so a guy like him would definitely be welcome on the team. And looking at his batting average against college pitchers with .336, I'm not saying by any means he's going to go on that pace into the minor leagues or into the major leagues, but, you know, like you guys mentioned, he shows maturity to improve his approach at the plate, and I think that he'll be a guy, personally, that will have pretty solid numbers into the minor leagues, and he'll definitely show some strength at the plate into the major leagues, you know, with his ability to improve himself, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you guys there. This draft pick sort of set precedent for what the Blue Jays would be doing later on in the draft. Obviously, Warmoth is out of college. He's a college player right now. So and following Warmoth, the Blue Jays only picked one high schooler until, I think, in the mid-10s, I think, the teens. And that was, as we just talked to, Hagen Danner. And this pick set a precedent for what they were doing with the draft. But again, as you guys said, and as I said, it's hard to read into the statistics, especially at the college level. We're going to move on to the Blue Jays' second pick. This was still in round one. They had two picks because of they offered a qualifying offer to Edwin Encarnacion in the offseason, and then he was signed with the Indians, so they got the Indians' 28th pick in the first round. They selected pitcher Nate Pearson, coincidentally, the same last name as Toronto's main airport, Pearson. They select him 28th. He's 6'6", 240 pounds, and as I previously mentioned, he's a university student, Central Florida Junior College. His fastball was recently clocked at 102 miles per hour, and in 13 starts with Central Florida, he had a 1.56 ERA with 118 strikeouts and just 23 walks. Pearson does struggle with some off-speed pitches, which is a cause of concern for some colleges or some teams that were drafting him. And he had surgery in high school to put and he had a screw put into his arm, which is kind of an injury concern for teams, although it's not as big of a deal. What do you guys think about Pearson?
I really like Nate Pearson. And as you mentioned, he was 6'6", 240. He's obviously a big person, and it's pretty cool how he can top up 101 on the radar gun, and his consistency is 93 to 96 miles per hour, and as much as he can struggle with his off-speed pitches, he also can have a good quality curveball at times, as well as a slider and a changeup mixture, and his control is remarkably good for a young power pitcher, and his mechanics have been much more consistent this year, enhancing all aspects of the game. And as you said, he's been going through injuries as he had a screw put in his elbow. And the thing that is keeping Nate Pearson's projection up is his good health rather than that injury. As he was projected to go the third round, but his velocity increased, excellent spring, and his continued health boosted that stock. And he will definitely be viewed as a starting pitcher. And I'm really liking him potentially pitching for the Blue Jays in the next couple of years.
So if there's anybody in the draft that I am excited to see, I think it's got to be Nate Pearson, because when I looked at his stats, you know, like we mentioned with Logan Warmoth, we can't really project this guy to be a superstar at the major league level, but I do think he will have a lot of success, you know, wherever the Blue Jays want him once he makes his way up to the majors. In his 81 innings pitched in 2017, which 13 he pitched played in 13 games, I believe they were all starts. I might be wrong. He had an ERA of 1.56 with opponents only hitting 1.94 off of him, which is really good. You know, wherever you're playing, his strikeouts per walks was 5.13, and then his home runs per 9 innings. Was, I think, the thing that impressed me the most, which was 0.22, which the guy's not even allowing a home run. He's barely allowing a home run. I don't really know how else to put that, but you know, he's a tall guy. Yeah, I'm extremely excited to see this guy play, and I think he will have a lot of success in the minor leagues and then eventually into the major leagues as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you guys. I hope he has success. The lack of a secondary pitch and off-speed pitches is concerning, but I think he can eventually develop those type of pitches. Like, usually within baseball, people say that, like, velocity can't be taught, but pitches can. I'm not sure how true that is, but it definitely, his skill can be developed as he's developed throughout the minor league system. Moving on to further prospects, we just talked about the Blue Jays' third overall pick, which was obviously Hagen Danner. Moving past that, drafts or rounds 3 through 10, we saw Riley Adams, catcher, Kevin Smith, shortstop, Cullen Large, second base, Brock Lundquist, outfield, Colton Laws, pitcher, Casey Clemens, first base, Zach Loge, pitcher, and Justin Dillon, pitcher, be drafted, going all the way up to pick 309 in the draft. it's hard to pick out one of these and say something special about them, but I do want to note that Casey Clemens, who was picked 249th overall, first baseman in the 8th round, he is actually Roger Clemens' son. So, interestingly enough, the Blue Jays now have Vladimir Guerrero's son, Roger Clemens' son, Craig Biggio's son, and Dante Bichetti's son in their minor league system, which is very interesting.
As you mentioned, 360, the Blue Jays did draft Casey Clemens, son of Roger Clemens. And he was drafted in 2013 by the Houston Astros, but I guess he can continue to stay in school and was redrafted this year by the Blue Jays. And Casey Clemens is now a first baseman. And he, going to his bat, he has an open wide stance, which opens lower the half of the plate early, and he gets to the front side, which means he has good hand quickness and strength, which means he is a very good power hitter. He also, apparently he also has the ability to play third base, but obviously the Blue Jays would like him to play first base, and he was drafted as a first baseman. And he just seems like a guy that has pretty good power. Obviously there's always room for improvement, and he seems to be a pretty good first baseman as well.
So we're going to leave it there. Episode 13 of There She Goes. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. I'm Mark from 360 Blue Jays News and Bluebird Banter. We were joined by Everything Blue Jays Nation, and earlier Hagen Danner. Thank you for joining us, Hagen. Thanks for listening.